You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. Happy Mailbag Monday. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boysen and Mario Tirabassi. We got our legs out.
Yeah.
Woo! Look at that. Kevin's got pants on, unfortunately, so he doesn't get to be on screen.
And I spilled on them already,
and
too.
That's what you get for wearing pants. Yep. See? That's what you get. Hey, smash that like button for us on YouTube. We greatly appreciate that. Make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube page as well. If you're a podcast listener, cool, appreciate you. Make sure you are following or subscribed to your podcast on your favorite podcast app. And leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Got a couple new ones last week. We really appreciate that. Taking a look at Chartable, which is a service that charts podcast performance, We are the number 8 hockey podcast in America last week.
Hey, that's
so
cool.
Thank you to everybody who's tuned in. I see we've got already 30 likes and what, maybe 50 or some people in here already before we even get started. So cool. Thank you. Keep those 5-star reviews coming and make sure, again, you are subscribed and share an episode with a friend. Talked to my dad today and he goes, you know that episode you did with the Phoenix guy? He's like, that was kind of boring. I'm like, thanks, Dad. Thanks for the undying support. I appreciate you. He's like, hey, don't you want honest feedback? I'm like, could it be you don't care about the Coyotes? He said, yeah, that's probably what it is. I go,
yeah,
okay. Yeah. Well, fair enough. I appreciate my dad listening. And
Couldn't get your dad a Coyotes hat for Christmas this year.
Yeah. Get him a PHNX hat. Anyway, it is Mailbag Monday. Trademark. We invented that. No one else can do it. We created it. And we've got a lot. So, Kevin, why don't we get right to it?
All righty. Let's start with the first one from name of the show, from Tyler Keske. Do you think Connor Bedard will win the Calder Trophy next year?
He's the odds-on favorite, I'd like
yeah.
to think.
I'd imagine so, yeah.
If he comes to, like, if he hits, like, 65% of his expectations, he wins it.
I'm trying to think of who
it's
else
his
would
to
be.
Lose.
So, is the expectation, well, we don't know yet. Is Fantilli going to play for Anaheim?
I would say it's 50-50.
I think it makes some sense for him to play with them. With
sure
the team they have, the young forwards they have. There's no expectations, really, for them in terms of, like, playoff performance.
Right.
They also could be a team that could sneak up a little because people had some expectations this year saying, hey, look out for Anaheim. They might sneak in. They sucked, but maybe adding Fantilli with no pressure. He's older.
And a new coach. We don't know who the new coach is yet.
So you never know. Sometimes that, you know, that first-year guy doesn't always have that breakout season right away, but – this is sort of a different beast here we're talking about with Connor Bedard.
And I'd say as far as, like, guaranteed rookies next year, you're we know that Logan Cooley is going to stay in college.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe Adam Fantilli plays. Maybe he goes back to school. Bedard will definitely be in the NHL. You know, I can't think of too many other incoming rookies that are near his level. So, yeah, I mean, like you said, Greg, it's kind of his award to lose depending on how things shake out. And honestly, it's really going to come down to, you know, who he plays with. Because if it's Connor Bedard and the ragtag group of Blackhawks, like, I don't know if he'd be able to, you know, put up the kind of gaudy numbers that everyone's hoping for and wishing for. But, you know, if he has a couple guys to play with, you know, he'll – most likely play a lot with Lucas Reichel. Like, it would be interesting to see, but I think that'll make a determining factor. But if I had to put some money on it on DraftKings, I would put it on Connor Bedard.
Yeah, I couple of factors that he's got going for him before the season even starts is he's already got the name recognition.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who he is already. Yeah. He's not going to come out of nowhere where he needs to, like, get the Christmas before people even acknowledge his existence. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be playing for the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
He's going to be on TV a lot. He's going to be on the Blackhawks national games are going to, all of a sudden, they're going to be a lot more next season.
I would be surprised if the first game of the 2023-24 season isn't Blackhawks Oilers on TNT or ESPN as the first game of the season.
Blackhawks versus whoever wins the Stanley Cup. I mean, they played the Stanley Cup champion last year. Sure. Do it again this year.
Yeah.
Let them go to another banner raising.
I would imagine one of the first national televised games the opening week is Blackhawks, and probably at home.
Yeah. So he's got that going for him, and, yeah, it's his award to lose. I mean, I think anything over 60 points, and they're going to give it to him.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, were there any rookies that played this year but then didn't play enough games to qualify? So technically, there's, like, would Shane Wright be on that list?
Yeah,
he would qualify as a rookie
next year. So he's probably contestant, I guess you'd call him.
I'd say he's in there.
He's in the race for second. Yes.
I mean, who knows how? Yeah, I mean, who knows how Seattle's going to use him?
Slapkovsky, did he play enough games this year? Last year or this past year?
You have to play? It's not the same rule as burning the contract, right? Like, isn't it? You have to play like half the season.
It's either like,
because McDavid in his rookie year played more than half the season,
right?
But got hurt, and that's why, and that's kind of why he didn't win.
It's 25 games in any single preceding season, nor in six or more games in each of any two preceding seasons in any major professional league.
Okay, so 25 games or 6-6 in back-to-back years.
Right.
Okay.
So that means Lucas Reichel is not
Reichel's
eligible.
Not a rookie, no. So
I'd have to look at when Slapkovsky.
I don't think Slapkovsky played that many games. Off the top of my head, I wouldn't know.
That's an interesting conversation.
To the Googles.
Not Yuri Slager. Google, you ass.
But yeah, I mean, even
played in 39 games.
Right, okay, so he's out too. Yeah, so I mean, it doesn't seem like there's too many high profile rookies that'll be in contention. There could always be someone that
comes out of nowhere.
There could be a goaltender who makes his career NHL debut and rides a hot streak, but I think any player that's going to unseat Connor Bedard, if he has the season a lot of people are expecting him to, they might also have to be in, like, the MVP conversation to beat him out for rookie of the year.
Yeah. And let's remember, the league probably wants him to win it.
Yeah, for sure.
Which would help a little bit. All right, let's go to the next one here.
AJ in the chat, really quick. I saw this. To be honest, I'm expecting a good rookie season, but not crazy, and then follows it up with at least 30 goals. I'd say that'd be a pretty great season.
Yeah, any rookie scoring 30 goals is in the crazy department.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll do this as we get closer to the season, but just testing your guys' temperatures on this. Like, if you're projecting Bedard's first year, what do you think is like the maximum he can do? What is the minimum you'd be satisfied with?
I mean, I think this is a discussion to have on July 2nd.
Yeah.
Kind of know the roster.
When we have a better idea.
But, I mean, I would think 20 to 25 goals is a reasonable expectation. Anything above that would be like, wow. Anything below 20 would be like, uh-oh.
Unless he's putting up like 60 assists.
Yeah. I don't know if I would uh-oh that.
More like, that's kind of disappointing.
Yeah. I could see that. I'm thinking like 60, 65 points.
If he puts up 60 points, I think anything beyond that, you're like, wow, it's really impressive. To do that as an 18-year-old jumping right into the NHL, like,
yeah.
Anything over 0.65 points a game is going to be impressive.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I know the kids, we've got all these expectations.
And I definitely think it's good to kind of maybe low bar him.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to say, he's going to put up 100 points, and then he puts up 60, and we look like idiots or whatever. No,
we don't know who he's going to be playing with at this point.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go crazy. Like, yes, he is a generational talent. We hear that word a lot. We know the expectations are high, but let's not expect, Rocket Richard trophies and Hart trophies from day one. Let him ease into playing in the NHL. It's going to be quite the jump.
There's going to be some time to kind of, acclimate to the league, whether it's 10 games or a whole season. Like, he's going to need some of that time, and I think patience and understanding is good to have, and expectations are good to have too. So,
for reference, Connor McDavid came into league at 19 years old, played 45 games his first year, had 48 points,
and he got hurt.
Yeah.
So had he not got hurt, that's what, 90-point pace?
Yes. So years two and three, 82 games in each year, 100 and 108 points.
I mean,
but he's also
it's pretty good.
McDavid is also, what, 2 years older than Bedard will be?
19 is a rookie.
Yeah. So he's older. He was a little bigger.
Auston Matthews, rookie year, age 19, 40 goals, 29 assists, 69 nice points. Very nice season for him.
Chris in the chat, Patrick Kane, 21-51-72 as a rookie.
Okay. I mean, that's better team.
Much better team.
Yeah, better team.
He's got,
I mean, it's.
If he could get 40, 50 assists, I'd be kind of shocked. Because, I mean, he's got to have somebody scoring 40, 50 goals.
Just bang him off Taylor Radish's butt.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You know, Taylor Radish is going to, I think, going to be. Everybody talks about we need this guy to protect Connor Bedard. It might be Taylor Radish.
Yeah.
He might already be here.
Sure. Yep.
Go to the net, put your stick down, let good things happen.
That's it. And he's the perfect guy to do that. Because that's his game anyway. It's not an adjustment for him.
Right.
You know? All right, what's next?
From Roy Jackson, in the unlikely event Bedard pulls a Lindros, what kind of return will the Blackhawks get for trading the number one pick?
He's not going to pull a Lindros.
I'm not answering this with any actual details because it's not going to happen. It's
also
happened once.
Also, that kind of trade today in today's NHL, I mean, you're talking about, I don't even know, like 8, 9 moving pieces, 10 moving pieces.
It wouldn't be as simple as just here's two players and 5 picks.
Yeah, you know? No.
It's not going to happen. It happened once 31 years ago. It's not happened since. It didn't happen before. Like, people want to see it because they hate the Blackhawks. I got news for you. You're going to cry again because it's not going to happen.
Remember we talked to Dante DiCaria, who is the play-by-play voice of the Regina Pats. And he said, no, there's no shot. He's
Why would
friendly
Connor
with
Bedard not want to play in Chicago?
Of course. It's not
Quebec.
He's
going to forego the Blackhawks and all the endorsement and living in one of the greatest cities in the world so he could go play in Calgary? Come on, get out of my get out of here with that nonsense.
It's not happening.
Nope.
All right, Bruce Whitman, can you clarify how many players an NHL team can have under contract at one time? I thought I read somewhere that it is around 90, and will the Blackhawks be approaching this limit in the next few years with so many picks? I'm wondering if this will influence Davidson's decision to package picks to move up in the draft this year and the next two as well. Thanks, so Bruce Whitman.
It is a 90-player maximum reserve list, a 50-contract roster limit. That's the NHL rule.
And that's 90 players that you can have the rights to.
Right.
But you can only have 50.
Including your 50 NHL players.
Right. So you have 50 players under contract and an additional rights to 40 more.
Yep.
And most teams like to keep it at like 48 going into a season because they like to have that flexibility for an injury. You could just go out and sign a guy as opposed to have to you know, put a guy on waivers and all that stuff. So
according to our friends at Cap Friendly, the Hawks have 35 out of 50 players under contract. And 57 of 90 on the reserve list. So they're nowhere close. They're nowhere close.
35 out of 50, are they not including some of the UFAs and RFAs coming up?
I would assume not because they're not.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't have that.
But if you're talking about that, so 1, 2, 3, assuming everybody resigns, which is not going to happen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9,
10, 11, 10. Ladybugs at the ladybug picnic.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15. 18, 19. So that's 19 more. And that includes, like, Anton Khudobin.
Right.
Like, guys who we know are not going to be
back. So they could take on 15 new contracts this
They could, yeah.
And,
yeah.
But they're, yeah.
They're not going
but that includes guys, you know, entry-level contracts. But I think anybody who's going to get one has gotten it already.
Yeah.
They're good on that point. And as far as, like, the extra picks, using them to trade up is absolutely. Kyle David himself even said.
Yeah,
I'm probably going to do that if I get the opportunity. He's not going to do it just to do it, but he'll do it if there's a guy he wants to get. That's why you stockpile those picks. Rarely do you ever make all those picks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the same with the next couple of years.
And if you do make all those picks, eventually you're going to run into too many players to make decisions on.
Right. Then we'll have to worry about that 90.
Then you're in trouble. So, yeah, I would imagine he It's
all about flexibility.
Is flexible, yep.
All about the flexibility.
Yep.
It's nice to have options.
From Berkey, should the Hawks offer Winnipeg ice forward Connor McLennan a contract? He finished eighth in the WHL in scoring. He was a Flyers draft pick in 2020, but didn't sign.
I don't know. We only got 15 spots. Sure.
I am not opposed to anything like this.
I mean, give him an Ice Hogs contract and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, look, if Kyle Davidson and company want to take a flyer on a kid, I have no issue with that at all, just because he has a massive scouting staff, right? Like, we know that they're going to do their due diligence. You really have nothing to lose but a contract.
Right.
And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I don't know. I can't say I know much about the player, but I'm looking here at, like, Elite Prospects draft report on him from last year, and it's saying a great finisher, all those sort of things. His offensive motor translates to off-the-puck play, where his high-pressure game deters shots, prevents entries, and wins retrievals. Capable of high-skill backhand passes, relies on a shot if there's a defender between him and the target. He lacks the manipulation ability to become a top playmaker, but occasional problem-solving flashes make him at least capable of developing a 5.5 grade passing ability. So, sure.
Sure.
Why the hell not?
What are his measurables?
He is 5'8", 157. He is not big.
Not big at all.
No. So,
I mean, unless he can fly out on the ice, I mean, that's going to be a tough sell,
and
I think.
And I'm not, and again, I'm not, like, everybody's got to be 6'3".
Yeah, no.
Not everybody's got to be Taylor Radish, but 5'8", 157, it's a little small.
little small if you're not doing something.
If you're not Patrick Kane.
If you don't have a skill that is elite level,
yeah,
it's going to be
marginal
a
speed.
Yeah.
That's probably not going to be.
That's probably why the Flyers haven't signed him.
Probably not going to be on the Blackhawks radar either after talking with Mike Donaghy, how much they're putting the emphasis on skating.
Yeah.
Like, If you're marginal at best, I wouldn't have high hopes for being in Chicago.
No, it doesn't sound like he fits the mold.
As we said, if you can't skate, you can't be a Blackhawk, right? That was the...
Yep.
Yeah, and I love that.
That's why I'll never be a Blackhawk.
Yeah, I guess after 44 years, I can finally put that dream to bed.
Well, yeah, got to give it up sometime.
Yeah.
All right.
From Korchinski will save us.
By the way, Korchinski will save us. Before you get to it,
before
Kevin,
you ask your question, we've
we
answered
did
this
ask your question
a dozen times. Yeah, in the
well,
last
and we
week.
Got to yours specifically. It was just on the second show. So that's what you get for skipping a show. So call the police on you, jerk.
Skip me again. I call the police. Korchinski going to be on an NHL roster next year. Not sure he benefits much from dominating the WHL
go back to
another
last
year.
Tuesday show.
Yeah, I think the official statement on this is we believe he will start the season in Chicago, then go back to junior.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we expect to happen. If he comes out and just blows the doors off, maybe he stays, but I think it's unlikely he plays the entire season in Chicago. That is the official CHGO statement.
Agreed.
All right.
Co-sign.
Consider it gaveled. Landon McClelland, hey guys, do you think the Coyotes would be more open now in trading that number 6 pick? And if so, what could the Blackhawks package for it? Obviously, 19th overall, maybe second, two seconds.
Maybe
possibly second, third. Seconds. Michkov would be there at 6 and would be worth gambling on, according to Landon.
I don't think the Coyotes are moving that number 6 pick. I think they need... as many they might not even move either of their first round picks.
No,
I think they need to stockpile as many high end talent players as they can, because they are perennially in a rebuilding mode, and now with kind of the uncertainty of what the team is going to do, you at least want to make sure that your prospect pipeline, whether it's staying in Arizona or relocating or whatever, you want to make sure you at least have that secured. So I think the Coyotes probably use both of those picks. I'm not certain that the Blackhawks could get that number 6 pick. Maybe number 12. But I think getting inside the top 10, getting to like 9 or 8 or 7 is going to be really difficult for Chicago to do. And I don't know if Kyle Davidson wants to. I know having the flexibility and the option to move picks is good. I don't know if he'll want to pay as many picks as it might take, or many assets as it might take, to get to that 7, 8, 9 range. If they can get, if they can move up from 19 to 10 or 11 or maybe 12 with Arizona, who knows? I think that might be a little bit more feasible than getting to like six.
If I'm talking to the Coyotes, I'm trying to pry away an unhappy Clayton Keller.
Sure.
And I would give number 19 plus for Clayton Keller.
Absolutely, you would.
To play on the wing for Connor Bedard for the next 1, 2, 3, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
5 years. He's got 5 years left on that deal at 7.1.
Hey,
if
he wants out.
It seems like he kind of does.
Yeah.
Even though his dad was hacked.
Hate when that happens.
Yeah, dad was hacked. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's more of the play than trying to get either of their picks if the Blackhawks want to get real aggressive.
Yeah, the Coyotes, whether they're going to be moving into a new arena in Arizona or they're going to be moving to a new city altogether, they got to have something marketable.
Mm-hmm.
And having some good young talent on the way is very marketable. Like, hey, this team's going to be really good. By the time this arena is built, we're going to be a playoff team.
Yep.
So I don't see them trading 6. 12 might be in play, but, you know, 12 is the pick from Ottawa, right? That was the Chychrun trade. So I also don't see them, like, saying, oh, we traded Jacob Chychrun to move down in the draft. Like, you know, make a trade
move
like
down,
that.
Move down, but add more. Right. Yeah, I don't know.
So, I don't know. Arizona's a tough read because there's just so much in flux, and it's such a fluid situation. But I don't think they're going to be punting on any of those draft picks, even though they'd be acquiring more. It's not just giving them it away. But, you know, I think with, you know, Bill Armstrong there, he's the best GM they've had in a while. And he's got an eye to the future, so they got to build this up at some point. You just can't keep doing the same thing.
But, Hawks fans, Kyle Davidson pretty much flat out said he's going to try to move up in the draft.
Yeah.
They've got the assets to do it. He's basically said you can't possibly make all these picks. It's just too many. They're going to try to move up. How high remains to be seen. It takes two teams to make a trade, obviously, but
sometimes three.
He's not just going to sit on his hands and be like, I'm happy with what I got. He's going to try to move up in this draft or acquire assets to help the team.
Mm-hmm.
So don't worry. I don't like. There should not be any stress about that.
No.
Know that he's working on it. Know that we know from the year and a half or whatever he's been in charge, he's not afraid to make big and difficult aggressive moves. Exactly. So should we take a break first and then get to the rest of our questions here?
Sure.
All right. Let's do it.
Sure. I can tell you about. Our pals, our friends, our good chums over at Shady Rays and the gear that they make to help take on the sun that's built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've ever worn. I think they're better. They're a little too humble at Shady Rays. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. And that's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose your pair or even break them on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair. Zero questions asked. You can wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. Together with their customers, Shady Rays is providing much-needed support to nonprofit partners across the United States through the Shady Rays Impact Program. They're doing everything from building play sets for pediatric cancer patients to providing young adults with MS the outdoor adventure of a lifetime. Shady Rays is making an impact in your community and others just like it now and for years to come. And if you don't love your Shady Rays, but you will, but in case you don't, you can exchange for a brand new pair or return them free within 30 days. There is no risk when you shop. And exclusive for our listeners, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use the promo code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs of their awesome polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
It is. A lot of stars.
Yes.
You know what those stars can do? Provide a lot of energy.
They can.
And they, you know, with providing energy, you got to save money.
Monergy.
Yep. ComEd and their energy efficiency program is designed just to do that. They are committed to helping families and businesses in the communities that they serve help manage energy usage and lower energy bills now and into the future.
Yep, ComEd offers a wide variety of incentives on lighting and other efficiency upgrades to commercial, industrial, and public sector customers of all sizes across their territory. ComEd also offers free facility assessments that can help find energy-saving opportunities like for HVAC systems, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes.
Jay, can you tell me how that works?
I can. Once again, an authorized engineer will work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and needs. They can be done in person or virtually and last approximately 2 hours. Within 3 to 4 weeks, customers will receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on immediately. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, cost savings, project cost, potential incentives, and simple payback. If you own a business, don't wait. Get started saving money and energy, Munergy. For energy-saving tips, lighting incentives, or to schedule your free facility assessment, go to, pay attention, comed.com/poweringbiz.
B-I-Z. comed.com/poweringbiz.
That is correct.
Got it. I will do that.
Do it.
Did you just channel your inner Farley then?
Yes, I did. I'm not taking my shirt off, though. Not until it's hotter. All right, let's get... You see Nick's questions here in the chat about Lucas Reichel and Connor Bedard. Let's get to those. Yeah. Do you guys think that Reichel and Bedard will be on separate lines or the same lines? I think they kind of want to look at Lucas at center. They keep saying that. I'm not convinced they think he's a center. I think they'll maybe give it another look.
Yeah.
But when he was here last year, he didn't play it.
But yet he played center his entire time in Rockford.
I know. Right. But why would you not... You're actively trying to lose. Why would you not play him at center in the NHL?
You had all-star center Andreas Athanasiou.
That's
what
I'm saying.
You're not bumping him out of the middle.
So I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
if there's ever a season to figure it out,
to try it,
next season's the one to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
but Reichel's like, I'm a winger. I would like to be a winger, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think
I just can't do this. I keep losing faceoffs. I don't know.
I think it's completely fine to try it. To start the year with them both playing center, figure out if either of them are a center, and there's really no harm in changing things up midway through the season or whatever. If either of them show that they can't do it at the NHL level, or if one can, one can't, or if they both can, whatever works. Like, you know, if that's the case, like. Try it out. Test it. See what happens. Play Bedard at center. Play him at a wing. Play Reichel at center. Play him on a wing. Play him on the same line, different lines. I think it's fine to experiment this year. You got time.
Yep. There is no expectation to win, even with the addition of, the future addition of Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
There's no expectation to win. So figure it out. This is the time where you get these young players up here and trial by fire. Okay, you're going to get 20 games to be a center, we'll revisit it after those 20 games. And if not, then you move them. And if it's working, you keep them there. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have a bunch of guys that can play both center and wing because you get some flexibility. You can play, that's good for when you get, into a postseason series where you can make things a little tougher on your mm-hmm. opponent. Or if you need a little more size down the middle, you put guys out to wing, things like that. So versatility is key in today's NHL. Like nobody should be pegged as I only play center or I only play wing. Like, look what Max Domi was able to do for mm-hmm. himself. He hasn't really been much of a center in Dallas, I don't think. I think he's mostly been a winger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he proved here
he could do it.
That he could do it on a nightly basis and do it well. So guys like that are awesome. And a coach like Luke Richardson would love to just be able to be like, okay, this guy here, this guy here, this guy here. He had too many guys last year that all did the same thing. It's tough to build a lineup like that.
When you mentioned Athanasiou, like kind of jokingly, but at the end of the year, Luke was kind of like, that really kind of worked. Like it suits his game well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that Athanasiou plays kind of lends itself to being center. So if they bring him back, which remains to be seen, maybe he gets a look there, too. It's nice to have options for the coach. I do think they really want Bedard to be a center. We'll see what happens with Reichel. But, it's going to be I'm suddenly very excited about this season, not just because of Bedard.
Yeah.
But, just kind of the whole thing because before the Bedard thing, we were kind of like, what are we going to talk about next year? Like,
yeah,
there was no Kane and Taves drama to cover. It was just going to be bad hockey.
But now it's going to be bad hockey.
More development focused.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be bad hockey still, but there's going to be players that matter. Mm-hmm. We didn't have any players that mattered.
That's true.
Except for
That's
the
true.
13 games Lucas Reichel was up. But we didn't have guys that you could be like, that guy is going to be one of the major reasons we're going to be in a cup contender.
Yeah, not many cornerstone pieces to look at last year.
Maybe a couple of, like, patio furniture type items, but no foundation.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of decorative pieces, but nothing major. So this year we're going to have guys that really matter for the first time in a long time.
I think the one thing for me, for both of them playing center, far be it from me to say you can't play any position because of size, but if you're, let's say your top two centers are Bedard and Reichel, I'd like a little bit of more size down the middle if your team is going to be contending. For anything, like, if you know, you look at some of the contending teams in the playoffs and the teams left, like, there's some size down the middle. So Bedard's not the biggest kid. Reichel, I know he's still kind of physically maturing, but at this point in his life, he might just kind of be the size.
Yeah,
he
he's
is.
Never going to be big,
right? So I don't know. They're not the 1-2 punch with any size, but I mean, you can make up for it. You know, play with guys that have size on the wing, but down the middle, you kind of like to have a little bit more to it. But if they're two really, really good centers and they project out that way, then, you know, you can make it work. But I think right off the bat, one of my hesitancies is, like, a little bit undersized in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if they target size with some of those second and third round picks. And later round picks this year, they target, you know, you start seeing guys who are 6'1", 6'2", get drafted.
Yeah, because they don't have too many big wingers in their system.
No.
So that could be a target that they have this year is, you know, get some wingers that have some size, you know, some nastiness, maybe, you know, a big scoring threat. Like, that would be pretty good.
Yeah. And your current top prospect center is Frank Nazar, also small.
Also small.
Right.
So fast, but small.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. Keep going.
All righty. From Rain Man MP, how much would the rest of the league's fans lose their minds if the Hawks somehow got the number one overall pick next year after improving this year with Bedard?
So is that possible with the new rules? Okay.
You can't
do it
three in a row, right?
You can't win it more than twice in a five-year span. But you can win it back-to-back. Okay.
Years. Yeah, because Montreal was eligible to win it this year.
Right. Yep.
Yes, you can win it back-to-back years, but you can't win it more than twice in 5 years. So, I mean, yeah, I'd love it. Bring it on.
Oh, man.
Bring it on. It would be this year on steroids, and I would just sit back and just laugh. Just laugh. I'd be like Al Pacino at the end of Scarface, just sitting at his desk instead of a big pile of blow in front of me. It's a big pile of prospects. And I just,
from Big Shot Var J, I even asked way too early for a 2024 pick projection. What?
Oh, God, no.
Anybody know that number one pick?
You don't even know what the roster is.
You answered your own question way too early.
Did anybody know who the top prospect?
Celebrini would be the top pick.
Celebrini is likely the top overall prospect.
But it's not as clear cut as
there's a couple of top guys next year, yeah.
Yeah, it's not as clear cut. There's no Connor Bedard next year. There's no, you know, well, we thought Shane Wright for 2 years was going to be last year.
Yeah,
and look what
I think maybe less people are gung-ho about being like, that's the number one pick, unless it's someone like Bedard where it's like, there's no question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to focus on the guys you're going to pick this year before I start worrying about next year.
Yeah, we'll worry about next year's draft.
Yeah, it's impossible to project too because we don't know how aggressive Davidson's going to be, right? If he goes and gets a Keller or like we talked about last week, like a Brock Besser, Connor Garland brings Domi back, like suddenly you got a team that's like, all right, well, it's not a horrible team anymore. Not,
yeah, it doesn't seem there's a path this offseason where Kyle Davidson constructs a roster that isn't in the bottom five next year.
There is. And having Connor Bedard, and if Connor Bedard does the amazing things people are expecting him to do, the road to getting number one again next year is a lot tougher than it was this year.
Which is fine.
But crazy things happen. And the number one pick is not the target. It's not the goal. It was this year. Yep. It's not going to be next year. It's going to be, yeah, we're not trying to win games, but it's about development. And as Michael says in our chat, Macklin Celebrini, you can check him out. He played for the Chicago Steel this past season. I mean, they're just a factory when you think of the people they produced. Owen Power, Adam Fantilli.
Is he going to college?
I don't. That's the thing. I know he played it his past year. I don't know.
He's going to Boston because I remember thinking, oh, Colby's going to have fun watching him.
Yeah. So he played there this past summer. I don't think he's back this next year. But go see the Steel anyway because there's probably awesome. There's probably the number
2025
one.
Pick is probably going to play for the
one
Steel.
Pick is probably there because they've been unbelievable with the guys that they've produced. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Owen Power went number one overall. Adam Fantilli is going to go number two most likely. And then they had other guys. Sam Skevich, who's at Michigan, is good. Sean Farrell was a great player. He's in the Montreal prospect.
Yeah.
And then the kid, the other goal scorer that Calgary took. His name is
Coronado?
Coronado, that's who it is. Yeah, so they've been producing players left and right. So I always recommend people, if you're ever in the Geneva area, go see a Steel game. And then go to the Country
really
House
good.
Before and get a great burger. And then go see the Steel play.
Question from Dr. Horror Show. Would Seattle move on from Wright? If they were going to, they'd probably want to bring in a vet that would put him over the top for a cup. So the Hawks don't really have that to offer to get Shane Wright. It would take, Seattle's looking to do that, which I don't think they are, it would be to add someone that's going to make them an instant cup contender.
I think it would be a mistake to move on from Wright after. He's got no NHL experience. He's not seen anything.
Why
from
cut
him.
Ties on him after jerking his chain?
Yeah.
Around that last season, like, no, you invested the fourth overall pick in him, like, go see what you can get out of him before you cut ties on a 20-year-old kid. Like, that's not a good idea.
I know, and this is something that we got to get so many people. If these kids that get drafted in the first round don't produce right away, they're automatically like, well, they should give up on them. We need to untrain the brain here because we're going to have, and Connor Bedard is going to kind of ruin that going forward because here we go again. We just told everybody, not every first round pick is Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. Well, we kind of just got another one like that.
That's great.
Well, hey, that's fine.
I mean, that's fine if they want to be. We're not discouraging.
Right,
right.
Not everyone is going to be that, as we're going to case in point with the three guys we drafted last year.
Yeah.
Doubtful we're seeing any of them in the NHL next year except for maybe a sniff. So, Shane Wright, I don't think he's available at this point.
No, nor should he. I wouldn't think Seattle would want to do that. Because when Seattle got that pick, they're like, hell yeah, we lucked into that.
Yeah, right.
So you're not going to want to bail on that right away. And look, you want to be good for a long time, you got to keep reloading that prospect pool. So, and
even
it's great for Wright, who
team.
Can come in and develop as a 3 or a 4C, work his way up the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a good situation for everybody.
Nick says in the chat, what the Kraken did with Wright last year was a bit odd. It was, but you can thank the stupid CHL agreement.
Yeah.
Where they couldn't send him to the AHL if they wanted to. So they had to send him back because he wasn't quite
ready. I know he
did
play there, but it was a conditioning stint loophole.
Because he was a healthy scratch for a certain amount. Yeah, they didn't handle that perfectly, but
right.
If they could have just played him in the AHL,
that would have
been
better.
Where he would have been all year. That's probably where he'll be most of this year, too.
I would like to see that rule changed.
I would like to see that, too, but it's all about the money.
All right, what do we got next, Kev?
Walters Ringer, given that the Hawks have number one, does that give them the advantage in terms of scouting the rest of the draft? They don't have to allocate any time for number one, so they can super focus on 19 and rounds 2 to 7.
Well, the thing is, the scouting's already done.
Yeah, at this point of the year, you've scouted almost as much as you've pretty much done everything.
Now you're just waiting for the draft. You're just kind of feeling around, seeing what other teams are doing. You're answering phone calls. You've done all the work.
And the only hockey left to scout is, like, the Memorial Cup. And
well, you watch
that's
film,
about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
the
you watch film.
In the combine, you go, you see kids.
You interview people,
Yeah, that's more for meeting the kids. And then you can see a little bit of them, the mechanics up front. That's good. The combine is good for more so for the coaching staffs, I think, than the scouts, because then the coaching staffs can kind of be like, oh, yeah, I could definitely work with that, or right, we're going to need to fix that.
See the physical tools that the kids have.
But the hard work's been done. I mean, the draft board is set. They're ready to go. It may fluctuate a little bit based on combine things. Maybe some kid blows you out of the water. Mm-hmm. Maybe some kid completely disappoints. But, you know, maybe some kid doesn't know which way the school bus is going and he drops down on your draft board. But the heavy lifting has been done for the scouting department.
Definitely. What do we got next?
Our guy, Windy City Hockey, who's also in the chat today. If the Blackhawks can't re-sign Max Domi this offseason as a center option, do you think the Hawks look at a player like Teddy Bluger? As he is an unrestricted free agent this offseason, put up some solid numbers for the style of play he does.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the options are open. It's not a tremendous free agent class.
No.
But there's options open. If it's not Max Domi, I don't feel like Bluger is the, second best option to fill that kind of role.
Yeah,
but
that's more of like a. I mean,
that's more of a guy who's gonna be like your third line fill in.
Yeah,
and they've got third line fill ins. Yeah, so I think the free agent class is probably going to focus on a player or two that you can slot in to your top six, top nine as short term stop gaps, guys that may insulate Reichel and Bedard. And I don't know if Bluger necessarily does that. He's not the worst option out there, but I don't know if people are going to be falling over themselves to try and get him.
No, 28 years old, 98 points in 268 games. He had 16 points in 63 games in a regular season. But, you know, I think where the Hawks are right now is they're still are kind of in that, bridge till guys are ready kind of philosophy. Yeah. Like, Colin Blackwell is a good example. Like, is he going to be here when they're good again? No, but he's a stopgap. He gives them a little bit of what they want, compete, speed, falling down,
energy
tripping over skates.
Energy and effort.
Energy. All that stuff that you get from
sitting in traffic with me on Ashland Avenue.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think it would be off the table, but I think, like Mario said, with Bedard, they're going to be looking to add to the top six. I think that's where they'll be most active.
Nobody in this free agent class that they bring in this year is going to be here. They're not going to be guys you build around. They're not going to be guys that are going to be here when this is a playoff team.
No.
Again, it may be the exception of Max Domi.
Maybe.
If he wants to commit that long.
But
the way he's been playing, there's going to be more competition than the original.
He might have better options.
We all thought it was going to be, hey, it's going to be an easy. He's going to come right back. And then you see what he's done for Dallas in the postseason, and there's a lot of other teams going, yeah, we could use that.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe Dallas says we will keep
maybe.
We got a good point here from the Cini. Says, I'm behind. Did we forget to mention Luke Hughes exists when discussing the Calder Trophy candidates? He has to be the favorite.
That's
I don't know if he's the favorite, but he is probably the toughest competition that Bedard will have.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
That'll be a really good option.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's not the favorite. I don't know who the odds favorite is right now.
I mean, for a rookie defenseman to...
It's going
to
be about putting up points.
Yeah. It'll be
on a good team, though.
He's on a team to do it, for sure.
But to be a defenseman and to beat Connor Bedard... Bedard would have to have an amazing year, and Bedard would have to have an underwhelming year, I think.
I would think so, yeah.
But, yeah that's a good...
Which
it's
let's
a good,
not... I mean, let's...
Not to take anything away from Luke Hughes. Yeah. No, he's obviously a worthy candidate, and we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
I'll look and try and find that.
Let me know. It's probably early because the draft hasn't happened yet, so they probably won't even have him out until where players land is known.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good point that Hughes is definitely going to be in the conversation.
All right, from Young Dangle God. Hey, gents, Dubois seems like a perfect player to put on a line with Bedard and Reichel, two-way player who wants out of Winnipeg, who's also incredibly skilled, can keep up with those two. What would it take to trade for his rights, and would you be willing to make that trade?
Pierre-Luc Dubois is...
Dubois,
like
sorry, I don't know why I said Dubois.
All but a Montreal Canadian, so... I don't know if he has any interest in playing anywhere else besides Montreal, from all accounts.
Which is weird, because he's not from Quebec.
No, but
even though he has a Quebec name.
Yeah.
But
it seems like
he does say he was born in Quebec.
All right. Well, I think he was.
Yeah, I mean, that's
in Alberta.
Okay. That's where every insider and reporter of note has made mention of that kind of notion that basically even during the regular season, it was like, yeah, he's just eventually going to be a Canadian. I don't think he has any interest in being in Chicago.
Rumors of Pudwactum.
Well, that's the thing. I wouldn't necessarily want anybody out of that Winnipeg locker until we figure out, like, yeah. I mean, he's one of the guys that Rick Bowness called out. He always said, my top guys.
And he's
one of their
guy.
Top guys.
Yeah.
So when two head coaches in 2 years go, I got nothing. These guys suck. They don't want to put in the work. And he's part of that locker room. I'm cool.
That's And there were, it's kind of similar reasons why it didn't work in Columbus. So, I don't know.
Yeah, at some point, when it's the same guy with the same story every team he goes to, you're kind of...
Maybe it's you.
Yeah,
here,
yeah. There's not a lot of teams that give up on now 24-year-old 6'2", 205 centers that are almost point-per-game players.
Yeah, right. I mean, he is a great player, but I don't trust him. And it's probably going to cost a lot to get him.
I would think so. At least this time. Wait till next time.
Sure.
Yeah. In 3 years when Montreal gets tired of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
How many more we got, Kev?
We got three more.
Beautiful.
From Mongo Hawks at Mongo Hawks on Twitter. If you have one additional player you can choose from the draft, even if it means trading up multiple lower round picks to get him, who would it be?
Adam Fantilli.
Does that count?
Matvei Michkov. I'll throw mine out there, and it's a guy that I've mentioned before, someone that I'm sure the Blackhawks have been able to have a lot of eyes on over the last year in their scouting department. It is Seattle Thunderbirds goaltender Thomas Milich. It passed over in the last two drafts. I know there's been some confusion about his draft eligibility. He is eligible in this year's draft. He is listed in Central Scouting. He is... For goaltending standards, small-ish, but man, he has had a phenomenal season. Won a gold medal with Canada. He helped backstop the Seattle Thunderbirds to a WHL championship and a berth in the Memorial Cup, which he will continue to be the starter for them in the Memorial Cup. I know he's a little bit older, a little bit smaller, but it's really hard to argue with kind of the body of work he's put together in juniors. Should have been selected last year. I'd be surprised if he gets passed over in a third draft. And with the Blackhawks being where they are right now in their goaltending situation, you have Drew Comezzo going to be playing professionally next year. You have Arvid Soderblom basically set up to be, 1A, 1B in the NHL next year. You kind of found a pretty decent college signing in Jackson Staber. You still have a decision to make on Dominic Bassi in your pipeline.
Yeah.
I have no problems with them rolling the dice on, a guy that, is low risk, high reward. Probably going to be available in the mid to lower rounds. That's the guy that I'm going to, as far as goaltenders go in this draft that aren't some of the top guys, that's the guy that I think would make the most sense given where the Blackhawks are and where they might be able to get them.
Let's take another break. I know we have a couple mailbags left. We also got a little bit of breaking news from our buddy Charlie Romeliotis. So stick around. We'll tell you about it in a second. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends at Fubo TV. I have been giving the Fubo a workout. Yeah, watching TV at home. FuboTV.com/CHGO. 140 plus live channels of sports, shows, movies, and news. You can stream live TV from any device, your phone, your iPad, your laptop, whatever, wherever you are. You can start watching immediately with a 7-day free trial. There's no contract, no cable, no hassle. Just sign up and start watching right now. FuboTV.com/CHGO. You'll get 1,000 hours of cloud DVR included at no extra charge. You can watch your local teams while traveling. You've got the WNBA tipping off. I saw Brittany Griner score a nice bucket today. Very cool to see her back and playing again. The NHL draft is next month. NHL-NBA playoffs are well underway. The Sox and the Bulls and the Hawks, when they come back on NBC Sports Chicago. And listen, If you're a Cub fan and you want to cut the cord, the only place you're going to find Marquee Sports Network is Fubo TV. Watch the most Chicago sports with Fubo TV. Use the link in our description to sign up for 15% off your first month of Fubo Pro. Go to FuboTV.com/CHGO. That's FuboTV.com/CHGO.
Hey, you like the way our set is decked out?
I do.
I do too. And the good people at FOCO are to blame?
Thank.
That's the opposite of blame.
That's the opposite of blame. Hey, blame them for how good it looks. FOCO, hey, F-O-C-O, they are some of the best in the sports memorabilia and merchandise game. Get fitted out with some of the best gear around. Not only do they have tremendous bobbleheads and signs, some that you see here on our set, but they also have hoodies, shoes, anything you can put your favorite team's logo on, they can have it done for you. It's spring. It's baseball season. Get out your Aloha shirts, your straw hats, the polos, the bags, anything you need. Check out FOCO.com. Click the link in the description below. And when you use the promo code CHGO, you're going to get all non-presale items 10% off. Again, promo code CHGO when you go to FOCO.com. That's FOCO.com.
Well, this is going to bum some Hawks fans out.
It's bumming me out.
Bumming me out a little bit, too. Mark Eaton, Blackhawks assistant GM and director of player development, joined the second best Blackhawks podcast on the planet, the Blackhawks Talk podcast from NBC Sports Chicago, said that development camp this year will be off ice only. So we will not get to see Connor Bedard.
I.e., we don't have enough room for everybody who wants to come here, and we can't get the United Center for a week.
I would imagine. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I don't want to steal their work. Just go give that podcast a listen when you're done with this one. But Eaton says, quote, I know now with the first overall pick, I'm sure there was a lot of excitement and anticipation to see him and all of our other picks on the ice in July. But ultimately, taking a step back and thinking about development camps of the past, we want to do what's best for our prospects. And in thinking about it, having no on-ice portion to it, we think this would be the best use of that week. Per the CBA, we only get 6 of 7 days with these guys in the summer, and as much as we'd love to get them on the ice, we feel that the best use of time for that week is to really focus on the other parts of their development, the physical part of their development at this stage, and not just their playing careers, but their lives. The physical development is where I think you can make the biggest impact. So it goes on. There's info there, but we will not see Connor Bedard on skates at the Fifth Third Arena until training camp.
That's a huge bummer.
Hey, that means we can spend a couple extra days in Nashville now.
I guess so.
We're going to have to rush back.
He's still going
to
be there.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll still be made available. But, man, it's I get it, kind
of. It's one of the most fun weeks of the summer for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good time. Like, I love the excitement about of development camp. And you're just excited that there's hockey in the middle of July. But then you get there, and after, like, day 2, you're like, this is the most boring crap I've ever had to sit through. Because it's the same drills all the time.
I like it.
I mean, it's repetitive. It's a lot of the same stuff. It's kind of like, you know, when we go to practice, it's like, okay, when are they going to the locker room? Nope. Okay, go back to typing. When are they going to the locker room? Like,
well, I hope they still, because that's an opportunity for us and for media to kind of get some access to these kids and these players that we don't have during the regular season.
I would hope there would still be some media stuff. I know they're talking about that Friday, that day after the draft, but hopefully there'll be another day later in that week. I wonder if some of it also has to do with the fact that, like, it's also going to be the 4th of July.
Yeah.
In the middle of that.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't mean anything to Connor Bedard or Luke Richardson.
The second day of your prospect camp on the schedule is day 1 of free agency opening.
Right, so there's a lot of things.
They don't have anybody to blame but themselves for that because they make their own schedule.
Yeah, because last year the draft was a little later, wasn't it? Or was it the same?
Last year the draft was in July.
Yeah, it was later.
And free agency started later.
Because the season started 2 weeks later than usual. So now we're back on the normal schedule. It stinks. I mean, I was looking forward to that. I wasn't looking forward to having to get there at 6 a.m. and make sure I actually got a parking spot at the 5:30.
Yeah,
but
to watch
churches.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes the hype even more for Connor Bedard that we gotta wait a little longer for it. But
training camp, This is gonna have to be in the United Center if you're holding them back.
Either that, or you're gonna have to sell tickets. Not necessarily sell the tickets, but claim have them. People yeah. get tickets.
Sell them for $5. Like get the money to the Blackhawks charity.
Yeah,
or
something people
like
will
that.
Pay it. Yeah, you're gonna have to do something like that because it's gonna be crazy.
There's gonna be demand for it.
Yep. So yeah, that stinks. Well, but you know, it's. I would prefer that's in Minnesota.
That's in Minnesota, yeah.
So that would be the first time those guys play together.
That's
though.
In August.
There's September.
Right?
It's like right before training.
It is right before
September.
Camp.
Okay.
I don't want Connor Bedard playing.
Me
either.
I don't need some sticky blood back and a shot at
Connor
Bedard.
Those Iowa guys, we've seen it. Kirby Doc, Colton Doc, like
Reichel.
Don't need it. Don't send them there.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, Connor Bedard is not a prospect. He's an NHL player the second you draft him.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's get through these questions quickly. But, yeah, go listen to the Blackhawks Talk podcast as soon as we're done. All right, Andrew says – oh, go ahead, Kevin. Sorry, I'm stealing your show. No, it's
you. You want to read it?
We got to be consistent.
All right. Two more. What would a trade look like to get the top five top five of this year's draft? Also, will Davidson trade anyone on the roster such as Murphy or even Ian Mitchell?
Ian Mitchell's a restricted free agent. I'd be shocked if he's
no
back
one
in the
is,
team.
No one is fighting for his – RFA right
I
now.
Think if I read it correctly, those are two separate questions.
Separate questions. Yeah. Trading into the top five.
It's really tough.
Good luck getting a team, talking a team out of taking a top five pick.
That and good luck to a team saying, wait a minute, you're drafting Connor Bedard and you want our third overall pick?
Right.
Get out of here. Not happening.
I don't think so.
Will Davidson trade anybody on the roster? Was it at the draft, I would assume, or sometime this summer?
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to listen to every single offer that's made.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't pinpoint anybody on the roster that's necessarily like, you know, they don't have any like contracts to get rid of. They don't really have any like dead I quote unquote dead weight to kind of make space for other players. Like, I feel like the space that is already on the roster for young players to come up, we already kind of know who's going to come up and try and fill those spots. Yeah. So I feel like having to move anybody off the roster, he doesn't have to do that. I know Connor Murphy is mentioned in the question. I feel like he serves a purpose on this team.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to get away from Connor Murphy anytime soon. So I don't know if there's anything you have to get away from. But again, options are open. There's flexibility. If a deal makes sense from Kyle Davidson's perspective, I'm sure he'll make it.
I also think having Connor Murphy on your roster is more valuable than whatever you're going to get in return for him.
Yeah.
Right.
I agree. And he's still got three more years of his deal. Yeah. So
he's a leader in the locker room.
Yeah. And he's a guy that they send out to talk to after tough losses. They're a guy that they put up that he does the PSAs for Pride Night and the different nights, the theme nights they have and causes. He's active in those things. Mm-hmm. So,
is he the longest tenured Hawk now?
He is.
Oh, yeah.
He currently is.
Now that Kane and Taves are gone, he is. So, and he's a Luke Richardson guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he plays the game a lot like Luke Richardson does, minus the fights. But
he'll do it if he
will. He'll fight.
Yeah.
He'll mess you up.
But he, you know, he's – I don't think there's a need to do that. And at $4.4 million for each of the next 3 years, that's tremendous value.
Great value.
For what
especially
you get
as the salary cap starts to go up a little bit.
So he's a guy that I would think maybe – the trade deadline of 2025 is when you really start to. So you kind of like a McCabe where you trade him with the additional year for a team that's looking to contend for a couple of seasons.
Or you keep him around.
Or you keep him around. You make him, you know, you make maybe he's the next captain until Connor Bedard is ready to be the captain. I mean, I don't know.
We'll leave it open.
We'll see what happens. But and on a side note, the strange thing, I went to Cap Friendly to bring up, I couldn't remember how many years he had left. The Blackhawks are at the very bottom of the list of the 32 teams. Like, I'm so used to, like, having the, like...
Oh, with, like, cap space available? Yeah.
They're at the bottom. Like, they have the...
They're in such great position.
They have the most cap space in the NHL right now, and that's never happened. Like, I'm just so, like...
Programmed
to stop at, like, one or two, because that's where they've always been. They have the most cap space. So there's no reason to trade Connor Murphy just to trade him.
Exactly.
As you said, Jay... brings you a lot more value here than the second round pick you'd get for him.
Yeah.
All right, let's do our last question and wrap this up.
All right. Final question is from, let's see here. Hockey by DeBay. Yes, big fan here. What will be a successful season for the Hawks? What will a successful season look like for next year? And what signings should the Hawks be looking to help Bedard with? And will any of those guys be here in a few years when the team is ready to compete? Also, is Greg Boysen going to embrace a Vegas Cup?
I'm not going to have to worry about that because they're not doing it.
We addressed the trading and signing part. I think a successful season next year is development from your prospects that matter.
Yeah.
The guys that are at the NHL level perform. That's Bedard, Reichel, Vlasic, Phillips. They all take a step up. Your prospects not in Chicago are rising. Nazar, Korchinski, on and on and on. You see Renzel make a big jump in his first year of college, and you start feeling good about how the prospects are developing. Look, not every draft pick is going to hit. Not everybody can be a Samuel Savoie, all right? It's just not a reality.
Yeah.
But you want to see the majority of prospects elevating their game and the guys at the NHL level growing as you'd want. That's a successful season. I don't think it has anything to do with the standings next year.
Yeah. No, no. The expectations shouldn't be to finish in the bottom five as a success. I think if you see the progression from your professional prospects, guys in Rockford, guys in Chicago, that's still the biggest factor towards success. I think the other one thing too that I want to see next year that I hope carries over from this last year is I want to see the day in and day out 82 game compete level be what we saw last year. You know, Luke Richardson came in first year coach, and we were all, you know, pleasantly surprised about how he got that team playing and buying in and competitive in games that they, you know, against teams that they should have never been competitive against. So I want to see that continue. I want to see that still be the case, whether they're, you know, favored or underdogs night in, night out. Like, I want to see that competitiveness still be there. I want to see that team identity and culture continue to develop.
Agreed. All right, let's wrap things up. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. I want to wish a happy 13th birthday to my daughter, Addie.
Hey.
Christ.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yikes.
How does it feel to officially have a teenager in your house?
Awful. I hate it. Thank you for asking. All right, we'll talk to you Tuesday. Greg is off. He's going to build a shed. Mario
stuff.
And I will hold it down tomorrow. We'll talk to you 2 o'clock. Reminder, we are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the app and use promo code CHGO when you sign up. For Greg and Mario, I'm Jay. We'll talk to you tomorrow on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.